From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
this is Chicago's new home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, the Hawks lost last night. It was one of those photo finishes, one of those rare buzzer beaters in hockey. 1/10 of a second left in overtime when that puck crossed the goal line. Hawks had a 2-0 lead. They had a golden opportunity. DeBrincat thought he won it in overtime. Hit the post.
It was as entertaining a game as I've seen in March 4th in years.
Yes, and remember, like we talked about it with Eddie yesterday, just how hot Tampa's goaltender was with the shutouts and the Hawks getting those early goals and feeling good at 2-0. But they still got a point against a really, really good team. Now they lace them back up tonight. And I want to talk about that and about the official retirement of Brent Seabrook and where he finishes in Hawks lore. Pat Boyle does the pre, post-game intermissions, NBC Sports Chicago. Good buddy of ours, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hey, Pat, how you feeling?
I'm doing all right. It was an exciting game, a rare buzzer beater in hockey, and then we get the news today about Seabrook this morning. So it's been an eventful day in Blackhawk land.
Before we get to Seabrook, PB, how impressed were you with how the Blackhawks did play against the defending Stanley Cup champs?
Well, I was really surprised in the second period because that had been the Tampa Bay Lightning's period all season long. They outscored their opponents 29-13 going into last night's game. To see that dominant effort and to see the Hawks get two goals in that frame and, you know, kind of take a stranglehold on the game and then have the power play to start the third period, you're thinking, all right, they're in great shape. And Steve Conroy, my partner, said, look, the only thing, it doesn't matter if you don't score on that power play to start the third. Just don't let them score. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And you saw everything just fell into place. I mean, the ice was tilted severely in Tampa's favor, and they just came out and within 3 minutes had tied that thing up. And then you're thinking, all right, you know, how's this ugly movie going to end? And thankfully, they righted the ship. They got that point, and we'll see what happens tonight in round two.
Yeah, Pap, they've had these series where they play teams two in a row. This is obviously different because you're playing 3 and 4 nights, and they're really good. So is there a trend here with the way the Hawks have played in the second of these back-to-back games?
You know, they played well in the second game of the two-game sets. But, I mean, everybody's different. And by far, this is the best team in the division. This is probably the best team in the NHL. So I think all bets are off with them. You're going to be taking on, you know, McElhinney, their backup goalie. So that's a bonus in your favor. Subban will go for the Hawks. It'll be the exact same lineup. To me, special teams would be a little bit of a concern. I do think the power play, even though it's highly ranked for the Blackhawks, just isn't clicking right now. And, you know, against that number two penalty kill in Tampa, it was tough last night, tough sledding. We'll see if they make any adjustments in that area. But look, if they can find the work ethic and the pace of play that they had in the second period last night and win those battles along the walls and create offense like they did. And I thought the bottom six were really, you know, were really igniting the offense last night. And if they can mimic that for long stretches tonight, I like their chances.
I'm feeling a little bit of regret with regard to my suggestion that I'm taking the under six goals in tonight's game with both backup goalies in net. If you were giving me gambling advice, Pat, do you think I should reset my bet?
No. Think long, think wrong.
Well
just,
said.
You know, just,
okay.
just go.
Just go,
go
with it.
Go with what
it.
You did.
Okay. All right.
Live with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were listening at all earlier, but the Brent Seabrook retirement sparked some really good conversation. One, on Seabrook's career and where he ranks and if he's jersey number retirement worthy. And then, you know, I've always considered, for whatever reason, Pat, I've always sort of embraced him because he's always scored some of the most clutch Hawks goals in the postseason. And I feel like when it comes to the headliners, his name always comes sixth or seventh with the core group. So I feel like he's an underappreciated guy.
Yeah, I would say he's underappreciated. I would put, if you're talking Blackhawks that are underappreciated in the Stanley Cup run here, I would say Nick Jalmerson might be in that group. I would say that probably Corey Crawford would be in that group as well. I mean, to me, with Seabrook, when you're paired for a bulk of your career with your best friend, who's a two-time Norris Trophy winner, a Conn Smythe winner, one of the 100 best players in the National Hockey League history, a first ballot Hall of Famer, Duncan Keith, you are going to, you know, you're going to be overshadowed. The conversation doesn't always start, isn't going to start with you most times. So I think by nature, he was, you know, playing second fiddle to Duncan for, you know, a bulk of his 15 years here, and understandably so. That said, I don't think it is said enough about what he meant to the team from a leadership aspect. And I look at it like this. Like, when you look back at the Bears, you would say that, you know, Urlacher was the face of the team. But for those that covered those teams in the Super Bowl in 2006, they would tell you that Olin Krutz was the voice. So I would say that, like, if you take that and transfer it to the Blackhawks, I think, you know, taking nothing away from Jonathan Toews, he's a fantastic leader and he deserves a ton of credit for this franchise's success. He's the face of the leadership core, but the voice behind the scenes, the soundtrack to this team, was absolutely Brent Seabrook. And he kept guys in order. He kept it light when it needed to. He turned a harsh word when need be. He went to the penalty box in 2013 when Toews took three consecutive penalties in Detroit and the game and the series was getting off the rails. I mean, he was that voice throughout the three Stanley Cups. And so, you know, that's difficult to replace. And I think, you know, talking to him this morning, he's going to go back to British Columbia, spend time with his three kids and his wife. But I wouldn't be surprised if he found his way back to this organization in some sort of leadership role, because that, to me, is kind of the essence of Brent Seabrook.
Sylvie wants to wrestle with anyone that suggests his numbers should not be, his jerseys shouldn't be hanging from the rafters. How where do you stand here? Do you put it up there? What I suggested, Pat, that you raise it up and on the back you write Chelly Brook on it.
Okay. First of all, I want to do, does every city talk about jersey and number retirement / statues as much as we do here in Chicago?
You're gonna get sucker punched by Sylvie.
It's very Chicago-y. You're right. This is something that I've always have been passionate about.
All right. So here's my take on it. Absolutely, Brent Seabrook is jersey number retired worthy. And of course, so is Chris Chelios. And it's not unprecedented with this, you know, Pierre Pilote and Keith Magnuson, both number three, both sit in the rafters at the United Center. So, and could I see a Chelios 7 and beside a Seabrook? Absolutely. Could I see them going with a Ring of Honor to take care of the Corey Crawfords and the Patrick Sharps and the Nick Jalmersons? Maybe they go that route. Maybe they have to take a page from the White Sox and what they've done at Guaranteed Rate from the 2005 team and do that kind of, it's like a monument outside yeah. that has a few guys, has your Creedy in there, your Roland, you know, some of the unsung guys that aren't, you know, Konerko and Burley. So maybe, you know, the Blackhawks need to do that in the atrium. I'm sure these are, as we like to say, champagne problems.
Yeah.
These are, if your biggest issue is debating, you know, who retirement jersey should go up first or should you put both up, I mean, these are good problems to have.
Pat, I also cited that with him and Keith being here from the ground floor, like they were still a part of the Hawks organization when the Hawks were looked upon as one of the worst professional sports teams there was. And we know when these guys go through rebuilds, they don't always last. So they built it from the foundation 15 years through these three cups, and that run from 09 all the way through 15 is pretty significant, with major goals that ended series, that won Stanley Cup final games. Like, yes, Brent Seabrook isn't Hossa. Brent Seabrook is not Taves or Kane. But to me, he is still a hugely important part of what the Blackhawks did in this run.
When Keith and Seabrook started playing in 05, 06, hockey was off the sports radar in right. Chicago. It was flatlined. You know, the story goes these guys would put on Blackhawks jerseys with their names on the back and go to the L platform and hand out tickets, and people would walk by them and not take them. I mean that is the reality of, I mean, you would go to games. I remember taking my kids, my daughter at the time, in like 07, 08, to the United Center, and literally you could hear the conversations on the bench. It was like a Chuck E. Cheese, where you could see Tommy Hawk at one side and kind of motion to have him come over and hang out with your kid for 5 minutes and do a little stand-up routine. It was like, it was socially distant because fans did not want to be around this team. So they certainly built this thing from the ground up, and they deserve, I guess you would say, some bonus credit for that. But, I mean, what Seabrook did from a leadership standpoint, from playing the physical game, he was such a great passer. And you watch it now, these stretch passes springing to Brinkett and Kane, sometimes they're just a hair off. Or the defenseman will try to send it off the boards to an area pass and catch Kane or DeBrinkett or somebody else in stride. Seabrook used to do that effortlessly. He had a heavy shot. He could play a physical game. You talk about his clutch performances, 19 game-winning goals in the regular season, 3 game-winning goals in overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, they don't win one of those cups for sure, if not more, if number 7 is not in that lineup.
You know, and it's nice to have these conversations, because for the last couple of years, and listen, you don't blame Seabrook for signing a big contract, but for the last couple of years, that's what you've attached to his name. Not you, but a lot of people have, haven't they, Pat?
No question. And we see that, right, with pretty much every athlete that signs. You know, Jason Hayward can have the rain delay talk, but he still needs to live up to that number that's next to his name. And that's what happens in this town. It happens where you're drafted. Ask Mitchell Trubisky. I mean,
yeah.
If he was taken in the third round, it might be a different story of what the conversation is like. I won't go down that rabbit hole.
Please don't.
But here's the thing: if you're looking at the things happen for a reason aspect of Brent Seabrook retirement, you know, I don't think it's saying things out of school that his legacy was getting tarnished a bit the last couple of years with his play. Now, that was due in large part because he didn't listen to his body the previous 12, 13 years when he probably should have gone under the knife, but he wanted to play, and now he's paying for it on the back end. If he had come back in some way, shape, or form and been a shell of even the guy we saw the last few years, all of a sudden, all that equity, all that great stuff he has done in the previous 15, kind of erodes and you forget about it. And all of a sudden, you know, number seven becomes, you know, like the albatross around the franchise. And so, you know, while I don't like to see it end this way, maybe it's also a way to kind of protect his legacy, so to speak, so that we do really remember the good he brought to this franchise.
Really quick, they do get relief from his contract now, don't they?
They do. They do. So, in essence, you know, he'll get all that. You know, he's got the remainder of this year left and then three more years at $6.875 million. So they put him on long-term IR. He'll get every penny of that, but they get all that cap relief. And the one aspect of this, too, is, and I got to find this out from Stan Bowman, but because he's retiring due to injury, there might be some money the team recoups from an insurance aspect of this, but I don't know that. But, like, today they put Seabrook, Zach Smith, and Andrew Shaw on long-term IR, and that just frees up $26 million in additional cap space. So they've got tons of cap space if they want to use it. I don't think they will, but that's the situation.
You got a Sunday nooner, too, don't you? Don't you get a Sunday nooner? I mean, like...
I think it's a 1:30-ish pregame, so a 2 o'clocker, yeah.
Yeah, that's unusual timing, isn't it? A little Sunday nooner for you?
Yeah, that should be fun.
Is it a nooner if it's a 2, though?
Well, I'd say 1:30.
I don't know.
I'm just saying...
What's he talking about with a nooner?
Approximately around noon, a Sunday afternoon Hawks game. How many of those are there on the schedule, PB?
There aren't that many.
Yeah,
there are a few, but this
saying,
one is.
Don't be out all night on Saturday night getting your drink on, and then having to show up and then do, you know, the 1 o'clock pregame and the rest of the duties.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you know me better than that. Yeah. I'll be in bed at 8 o'clock and at church first thing in the morning.
My ass, you will.
By the way, I have a request from somebody else for a question for you. Has your son Patrick gotten a haircut?
He did. He got one yesterday. Yeah.
Was that the first?
And he did not use the lawnmower 2.0. Or
well played.
3.0.
Well played.
3.0.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't want to.
Yeah.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
Come on
now. Be careful.
Yeah, no,
you can't mix those things up. You know, strange things happen.
Right out of the lab. All right,
yeah,
Pat.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Hey, hockey show tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Brian Hanley, myself, we'll talk more about Seabrook. And we'll talk about this Blackhawks team in the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right, we'll be watching tonight.
Thanks,
bring home a win, all right?
All right, I'll bring home. Win one for the team.
Hey, yeah. Skate fast tonight, Pat. Skate fast.
Fluffy passes,
fluffy passes
and may you wet yourself.
Yes.
There you go. May you wet yourself. I like that.
May you wet
Pat
yourself.
Boyle, good time, Patty Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago. All right, if you want to weigh in on our topic that we started the show with, I forgot a name that I always bring up when I say, who's on my underrated team? Waddle said Mongo, and this is a guy that I always go to. Who's on your Seabrook all underrated team? And if you're how do you look at Seabrook? Does he deserve to get his number retired? Should it be solo? Should it be with Chelly? 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Heading into your weekend, phone number to talk to us, 312-332-3776. Calls on anything on your mind, baseball. We were talking some hockey. Hawks play again tonight. We're talking about Brent Seabrook, the all-underrated team.
You going to watch the NBA All-Star game on Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. I always do.
I know.
I like, what else? I mean, like, what else is there to do?
Watch one of those fancy shows that Chris gave us or that you...
Plenty of time for that.
My shows, apparently.
Not true. I want to see Ted Lasso.
Nobody gets more offended, though, than you when, like, someone doesn't watch your show, snappy.
Like, what's the point of the segment? trying to give you guys ideas.
I watched your show when you recommended me an octopus.
I recommend good shows. The octopus was very interesting.
I want to see
it personally.
Back from the Dead show that Sylvie talked about. I need to see that one.
It's a documentary.
The Ted Lasso thing, I find that's offensive. You know why? Because it's just such an uplifting, nice show. It's not the greatest show ever, but I think it will put a smile on your face.
It's my type of show, I think.
I am not overselling it. It is just a very heartfelt, nice show.
Great things about it. I want to watch it.
He's a soccer coach, right? But he doesn't have any soccer experience.
He's a successful college football coach that gets brought to England to coach a soccer team in the Premier League.
Okay. Gotcha.
He's the nicest guy ever. Ted Lasso. What a nice guy.
I love him as an actor. Like, Horrible Bosses is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'm telling you, Sylvie, it's just it's a sweet show.
By the way, did I tell you guys also?
Being sarcastic or what? I mean, is it really dirty?
No. I'm being dead serious. I think the way the show is marketed is like it's a sports show.
Right.
It's not really.
It's a comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a comedy, but his coaching style. Ted Lasso's coaching style is he doesn't need to know X's and O's because he's going to motivate you, the person, to be a better person.
Gotcha.
And like it's just like I was just surprised because going into it, I was like, all right, this is going to be another one of those stupid sports shows that, you know, comedians or dramas, they try to make a sports show.
When you sat down to watch the first episode, you were skeptical that you would like it.
I was just like, usually this stuff I'm not really into, like the fictitious sports league or the
How did you ever come to the conclusion that you were willing to sit down and give it the time?
I noticed a lot of people were talking positively about it, and I just wanted to go into it with an open mind, and I did. I was surprised.
It reminds me of the way you're describing is the way I felt about Blank's Creek. I still have no clue. We've talked about this show for years. Some days we can say it, some days we can't.
I think you can. It's won awards.
Schitt's Creek. Yeah. So, and that's how I felt after every 22-minute episode. I just felt awesome. It was just fun. Not every show was like laugh out loud, funny, or crazy. But the more you watched it, the more you loved the characters, and it was just a great show.
Yeah, good comparison. Yeah, I'm with you.
And it was only what? Isn't it? Aren't the episodes like 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah. It's a short show. Like, you're not going to spend your entire life watching season one of Ted Lasso. You could probably burn through it in a weekend.
By the way, I have very little time for commercials these days. Someone who works on terrestrial radio should probably not say that. But when I'm watching TV now, like we watched a series called Big Sky on ABC, and when you watch it on demand,
so bad, isn't that the one where
it was a hate watch? Yes. It was another Montana show.
Yes.
And it was about a cop who went bad and started trafficking
people.
And then we watched it, though, and they wouldn't let you forward through the commercials, and it just takes forever.
But my wife and I also said, Sylvie, about like that show. Once you see a series on Netflix or on Amazon Prime, you're very skeptical to go back to network series television.
It's a different vibe, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a totally different vibe.
Network television's been lapped.
And then you know this, Black. You're a Shark Tank fan, I think, from your reference earlier.
Love it. Love it.
We tape Shark Tank every Friday night. I think it's still on Friday. But we have it in our hopper whenever we want, or whatever you call your DVR area now. And the best thing about that show allowed you to speed through the commercials. On Xfinity, it's got the fast-forward feature where you could hit it at the highest speed, and it automatically starts at the next segment, so I don't have to sit through all this.
I would also advise you, if you have time and you have HBO Max, to watch The Little Things. I didn't think it was a great movie, but it is so well acted.
I didn't think it was a great movie.
Did you see it?
It could have been, like, Bleck and I differed on it. I didn't like the story. I didn't like the way the story ended, I should say.
Be offended. Didn't you give this as one of your what to watch for is 1 week?
I did, yes.
Did you? I finally saw it.
You just ignored Sylvie, though.
I
followed him, and I did end up watching it.
I liked it. It was a good movie.
No, I thought it was tremendously well acted. I just didn't.
Did you like the ending? Digging and okay.
Yeah.
See, what's there?
Here's the thing.
There's got to be something in the box.
No, not
What's
necessarily.
What's in the box?
Yes. To me, it was a throwback movie. Not everything has to be this crazy, dramatic, I see dead people twist and turn.
It started to drag, though. It really did.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I got a little sleepy. But, like, listen, Denzel, Jared Leto, and Rami.
Yeah.
Like, that was so fabulously acted. I've seen other movies like that where the acting is great.
I didn't understand, though, either. Like, Denzel, it used to work there, and then he's coming from a different police, another shop.
He had to leave.
And trying to crack the case.
But now all of a sudden, like, a day or two into this case, him and Rami are best friends. And they're, like, crying together. They don't even know each other. They didn't trust each other at the start. Now, all of a sudden, 3 days later, they're best friends.
They built a relationship.
Oh, BS.
It's like you and Brent Seabrook.
We didn't even get to that topic. 312-332-3776. Anything that is on your mind, got to get to that. And we were surprised by Cap's reaction to the Seabrook news. Was this a disrespect to a great all-time Chicago player? We'll play it for you coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I tweeted out a poll question. Brought to you by your local Chicago and Toyota dealers a little earlier today. What should the Blackhawks do with number 7? Should they retire it for Chris Chelios? Should they retire it for Brent Seabrook? Should they do a dual retirement for both of them? Just retire 7 and put Chelios and Seabrook up there. What is yours? Chelybrook?
Welcome to Chelybrook. Like, listen, you're not going to put Chelios up there now. You would have done it already, right?
No. You know how many years it took the Bears to retire? You were played in that game. How long did it take for Sayers and Butkus?
That's how, true.
The Bears retired Ditka when? 5-6 years ago in that Dallas game?
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, Sano got retired in, 03?
I'm just telling you, you can't put that jersey up there with just Seabrook's name on it. I mean, that has to be a shared honor.
Well, 11% say he should get it for just himself. 6% saying just for Chelios.
And of those 11% of those people, how many of them are still pissed at Chris because he went to Detroit?
It could be, yeah. 58% for both. That's the leader. And 24%, second place in this, is just, okay, Chelly left. Seabrook's good, but not Hall of Fame. You know, retiring number is never like about the Hall of Fame. It's about fan favorite, the importance to the organization as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting 24%. I've got three names for you. All right. These are names I've mentioned to you. Two may not, maybe not so much. I've always told you, as you always tell me, Mongo for your Bears.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So this is a guy that I bring up similarly to that is Aramis Ramirez. Many people have tweeted me that on who's on the all underrated team. Aramis Ramirez for many years was one of the Cubs' better players, and I don't think the entire fan base, most people do, but I don't think the entire fan base recognizes him as one of these all-time great Cubs. And then for my 2016 team, I don't think Ben Zobrist gets the love that he deserves. He was the World Series MVP and a huge difference maker for the Cubs. And on a lesser note, you know how I feel about this guy, Miggy Montero. I don't think he got the due at all for what he did in the 2016 playoffs. The grand slam against the Dodgers. The hit in Game 7 in the 10th inning that turned out to be the winning run. A matter of fact, some Cubs fans booed him the following year. Remember when he had the falling out with Jake Arrieta in the clubhouse after the game?
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs released him? But I thought he was an important player on the team. I mean, Seabrook's way better than both and meant way more because he was a 15-year player. But those are just some of the ones that I think about.
The Cubs name that I think about is Derek Lee. I thought Derek Lee was awesome.
That was my all-time favorite Cub growing up.
Really? Mm-hmm. See, I always felt like he was overloved. Like, so many people loved him. And I always called him 6'4"3 Lee. Wow, 6'4" Lee. He hit a lot of double plays. He was a big man. I wanted him to swing like a big man. He had one or two great years with the Cubs statistically.
Yeah.
Great years. But, you know, it's... I'm in the minority there. I'm in the minority with Derek Lee. But, I never thought of him as underrated because I always thought the fan base loved him. 312-332-3776. This was today on Cap and J Hood. We played it earlier. This was a surprising reaction to me listening to this and knowing the Cap was a Hawks season ticket holder.
This is breaking news.
Whoa.
Sponsored by the Points Bet Sports.
Just a moment.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Hang on.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here.
Come on, Danny.
Cap'n Jay Hood.
Gentlemen,
make it big.
From the Chicago Blackhawks official Twitter account, Brent Seabrook says he is unable to play and announces the end of his 15-year career due to injury. Brent Seabrook is retiring.
We turn to Jeff Meller with the fantasy ramifications of Brent Seabrook retiring from the NHL.
You can officially release Brent Seabrook from your fantasy hockey roster.
All right, thank you. Cap, there you have one of the keys to the Blackhawks and their run to the championship. There it is, Brent Seabrook stepping away.
Great. So let's get back to talking about movies.
Oh, that's a big deal. That is a huge... Will Brent Seabrook's jersey hang from the rafters at the United Center? I mean, Brent Seabrook, he's not a Hall of Famer, right? But Brent Seabrook is an all-time great Hawk in what he meant to that franchise on those cup runs. You can't just move back to sequels of Tommy Boy with a dead Chris Farley.
I mean, I can't imagine how they could have room to get it up there because we're going to have Noah, Norm Van Leer, Derek Rose's
separate
jersey.
Rafter, separate rafter. The Bulls have their own rafter.
No, people want to retire so many jerseys in this city that there's going to be no room for his.
So you're saying his won't hang up there with Duncan Keith's, Jonathan Taves, Patrick Haynes, Marian Hossa, and Coach Q. They're not going to put those up there.
How many are we going to retire, Danny?
And then they kept going on and on. But
you said that the Cap then changed his perspective.
Yeah, I guess in the next break after reading Twitter and seeing everybody complimenting Seabrook.
Was anybody surprised that it was announced that Brent Seabrook is retired? He hasn't played since December of 2019.
You know why it surprised me? Because of the contract. You know, like Pat was talking about, there was a lot of money still on the table for him, and he's going to end up getting it, I guess. But I think that was a big part of it, yeah.
I wanted to give props to Cap. I like the way he handled that. I think everyone else is just out of your minds. You're all out of your minds with this. We're just giving out retirement jerseys for everyone. Hang them all up.
It's not. You always default to participation stuff.
Well, no, it's just like you look at the cup teams, and I get it. He was on the, like, you wouldn't say he's a star, would you?
I would say he's very good, and the importance of the goals and from when he started with the Hawks.
He was clutch.
I would say
Keith is the star defenseman.
Yes, yes.
Corey Crawford's your star goaltender. We know Taves and Kane, and then we also have Marian Hossa. That's five players right there.
Okay. I would think about this, Black. How many players in sports history, not even Chicago sports history, how many players in sports history played 15 years for the same team and won three or more championships?
In Chicago or any sports history?
In any sport history, right. Like, think about that. He played 15 years one team.
Didn't Derek Fisher with the Lakers?
Did he only play for one team? Did he only play for the Lakers?
He didn't only play for one team, but he probably played 10-plus years with the Lakers and collected championships. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to discredit the dude, but I think Cap's response was correct, and I'm giving props to Cap for feeling that way in the moment.
I mean, like, how many of those jerseys are going to – is Corey Crawford's jersey going to be retired?
Yeah, I think this is how it goes. I think it's Crawford. I think it's Hossa. It's Taves and Kane and Keith. Those are the players, and then you get Quinville.
See, I think what he did from the building it from the very bottom to the very top, 15 years straight. Like, again, it's hard to build a team from the bottom up to last through all that rebuilding.
He wasn't the leader of the team.
Yes, he was. Okay, Pep Boyle just said he was the leader of the team.
No. Let me rephrase. It wasn't like he was the one. He was the best player.
He was not the best player. No.
So, like, but that's why he was an accessory to winning. He was a part of it. Absolutely. They had a good defense. I'm not denying that.
Play the Red Wings goal. This is a walk-off home run. This is a game 7 walk-off home run, basically.
Sylvie, one of the best sports moments in this city's history.
Yeah.
I think it is.
That one gloved down by Erickson. Builder to hit now. And Nyquist, he's run into by Bolin. Right back ahead comes Seabrook with a shot. He scores! Eventual goal scorer is going to work himself into that area, and that's Brent Seabrook. The hit, picks up the puck, and Seabrook comes in, takes a quick wrist shot right over the glove of Jimmy Howard. The neutral zone, not a lot of room all night long. Seabrook finds it. Quick little wrister, skate left, shoot right. And the reaction from the Blackhawk bench.
Like, you know, Scottie Pippen didn't even play 15 years for the Bulls.
I know. But if 15 years is the
I'm just saying the accomplishment. 15 years.
Tony Kukoc hit a game winner in a playoff series. That was a pretty big deal, right?
No, I know, but I'm saying it's the addition. It's the math. He did. Yeah.
And you know who else wore number 7? Chris Chelios. You know who else wore number 7?
Ben Gordon.
You know what that means? It means 7 championships with the 7 picks and the 7 championships.
All right, Fred. All right. Yeah, stop.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
I think it's hilarious. I mean, in a good way, that you get your juices flowing and your engine running.
Seabrook has always worked me up. I've always felt like he's gotten disrespected.
I'm talking about the whole jersey and the rafter stuff.
Oh, I'm passionate.
That's one of your things,
it's
man.
Just, you guys,
that's
you
one of your
really
things.
Really love it.
You know why? I'll explain to you why. Coming up next. And do you guys like reboots? There are 2 reboots for this weekend, and I want to find out if you two are interested in either of them. That's next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at The Home Loan Expert. Last year, their average client received almost $40,000 of closing from easy cash-out refinances. Check out Ryan Kelly and his team at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Here's why, Waddle. This is why, one, I'm a meathead, okay? So
good night, everybody.
It's a meathead
That's
conversation.
That's all I need to hear.
That's one. Two, so you know this, I've told you this for years. In the mid-70s, I started going to the Chicago Stadium when the Bulls were just after the Mata really good Bulls teams.
Yeah, you and your grandpappy sat on a court right there. Right.
76, 77, when I was old enough, I got to go to some of those games. And I would walk into that big barn, and I would look up at the rafters and want to know what all that stuff was. And there was a lot on the Hawks side. There wasn't so much on the Bulls side. You know, the Bulls at that time had very little history. They'd started in 66, 67. They were a 10-year-old franchise. And I believe, basically it was Jerry Sloan. He was the first number to get retired. So there was the 4, and I'm a kid, and those are the history lessons. I look up, what does that mean? What's 4 up there? Well, that's Jerry Sloan. You know, I took you to one of his games. He just retired, whatever. And, okay, well, what's over here? Well, the Hawks won this Stanley Cup in 1961. This is Glenn Hall. You know, this is Stan Mikita. And it's a history lesson. So you look up and you're like, wow, okay.
Aren't you watching the game? Are you just staring around the stadium? Or are you not watching the ball?
We show up a few minutes before the game, Waddle. I mean, there's stuff to do. It's not like we're
grab
just getting there
popcorn,
at 7:30.
Get yourself a cold drink. Sit down and watch
pretzel.
The game.
I got hot pretzel, nachos,
hot pretzel.
And cheese.
There you
absolutely.
Go. And then all of a sudden, you're asking your grandfather 1,000 questions. All he wants to do is watch the game.
I wanted one of those licorice ropes, too. Those were fantastic.
Yeah.
But I was a kid who was observant, so I wanted to know, and I wanted to know, why aren't there any of these banners on the Bulls' side? Well, the Bulls aren't very good. They don't have any banners, and there's only one player who's right at this time who's been retired. So now that we've got players who deserve it, I want to see all of them get honored.
Were you sitting in your chair doing a little play-by-play action while you were watching the game as well?
And Norm Van Leer's got the ball.
Yeah, I just love the fact that
down to Gilmore in the post,
it gasses you up.
It does.
That man deserves to have his jersey hanging from the rafters, and that's I'll fight you for it.
That's a first look. You were a player. You played. I was just some dingbat kid who wanted to come and watch the games. You know?
Do you think right now Mason is concerned with how many of his favorite baseball team, the White Sox, how many of the jerseys are retired? Not yet. Will he?
No, but I think he'd be observant, like, hey, what does that mean out there, 2005? Well, that's when they won the World Series. That's the last time they won it. You know, that's Frank Thomas's number. There's a statue. What's the statue over here? That's Frank Thomas. I think it's important. Okay. I think all these things are important. Tom in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
What's up, guys? So I want it where then the guys that have their numbers retired are either all-time greats or they're ones that have that look like they were on their way, but tragically either, you know, their careers were shut short or their lives, like very similar to like Willie Gallimore and Brian Piccolo for the Bears and such. And I mean, that's just me. I have high standards for my sports teams, you know, whether it's I want them to win championships. I have high standards on who I want to, what numbers I want retired and such. And I'm not discounting Seabrook. He's a great player and everything like that. But I don't consider him like an all-time great like I would consider Kane or Taves or Keith. I mean, those guys are on the top 100 list. And I mean, I would even say I wouldn't even really consider Crawford as, like, you know, one that you would retire his numbers to because even though he's got the Stanley Cups, he's still, I wouldn't even consider him, like, you know, an all-time great ahead of, like, Ed Belfour, who doesn't have his number retired or anything with the Hawks. So, but that's just my opinion. So.
Is Steve Larmer's...
No, his number's not retired.
I mean...
He's got a lot of great numbers.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, like, is he underappreciated?
Well, I think the old man used to underappreciate everybody. You know what I mean? And that's why I think that there are no rules for number retirements, because the Hall of Fame is different. To get into the Hall of Fame, you have to be the upper echelon of the upper echelon. This is just the importance to the organization. The owner can make up his mind in to retire a guy's number for whatever reason.
Do you know what I like? This is what I like. I like a combo. I like a Ring of Honor and jersey retirements. How about that? If I'm going to put together, and the jersey retirements are for the special, special, special players, the Ring of Honor is for other guys that have done some really good things. I'd like a combo presentation.
I wouldn't mind that. I think the Bears should definitely use that.
Black doesn't want either. Black doesn't want anybody recognized.
You can combo platter. I just... All right, put everyone's jersey up.
No, that's not what it is.
I gave you the combo platter option.
No, but I think Tom's call, the last call that we had, I thought that was a good call.
I know if it's the Hall of Fame, but there are no rules. Are you guys watching Coming to America this weekend?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee it, but I will watch it at some point.
I'm usually not a huge fan of reboots, but I'll give it a spin.
And then what about the old MTV show, The Real World? Are you going to, 30 years later, they're doing the reboot of
that. Is Puck involved?
No, he's San Francisco. This is New York.
I will not watch.
No, okay.
No. Yeah, no.
No.
All right, we've got Plex. Are you solo or is
solo?
All
right, so you know how this works. Friday night calls, all calls welcome. Things get weird. on Friday nights. Last week, we had a gentleman from Kentucky call.
Time out. That's not weird.
No, wait. This is what he wanted to talk about. Why don't more people appreciate Moses Malone? Why do so many people think Shaq is such a great center? More appreciation towards Moses Malone.
I loved Moses Malone as a player.
He had a great point. Moses Malone won 3 MVPs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's a stud.
We also get Crocs calls, wine reviews, the whole
thing. Where in Kentucky was he from? Where at?
Eric, do you remember?
So, actually, the whole story is the guy has been out of power for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he found an old radio and fixed it and came in with ESPN 1000.
But you don't know what city in?
I don't know. He didn't say. He said he just called up because he's bored and wants to get out some sports tapes.
Could be a
relative of mine.
Yeah,
Can we get the caller, the good night on purpose guy, back? I want him to. Has he called back since the promo?
You have yourself a great night on purpose.
I love that promo.
Yeah, he's
all
good.
Right. Black Solo, ring up your calls right now at 332-3776. It's time to get weird. Thanks to Black and Abdallah for all their work. Tyler Aki today, Eric Ostrowski for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.